Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and today we are stepping into a conversation that has the potential to change the way you see yourself, your purpose, and even your future. And as a bonus, if you got something physically wrong, let's say you got some pain in your body, we're going to address that too. So many people today are living exhausted, disconnected, and overwhelmed. They're checking all the boxes that society has probably told you to bring fulfillment, bring achievement, success, recognition, yet something deep inside of you is missing. There's a quiet feeling that this isn't all there is. There's something deeper. Can you relate to that? Well, it's not really anything that you've done wrong. There's no failure going on wrong here. That feeling, that peace that you're sensing inside of yourself is really calling you to step into who you truly are. You know, we live in a world that constantly tells us to look out from the outside in instead of from the inside out. Some of you don't even get that piece, right? You don't get, like, what do you mean outside in, inside out? Well, we're going to discuss that today. You know, some of you are, you know, you're chasing more money, more time, more energy, more fulfillment, more love, more happiness, and yet you haven't been able to find that. Why is that? Some of you are sitting in chronic pain. You're wondering, is this all there is? I wake up every day, I'm in this pain, my mental pain, emotional pain, physical pain. There's things going on. You're wondering, what can I do? Where's the solution here? Well, every one of us has a unique blueprint, a design, a pattern of gifts, strengths, intuition, creativity, and purpose that's unlike anything else on the planet. And when we live disconnected from that design, we can feel forced, exhausted, out of sync. But when we align, truly align, we find coherence with that design, extraordinary things start to happen for us. Clarity replaces confusion, energy returns, reflection deepens, relationships get better, fear begins to lose its grip, pain, struggle, and suffering start to not be the focus of your life, and you start to be able to live in a place of miracles, magic, and synchronicity, harmony with yourself, with the universe, and everything that's going on in your life. That's what this show is about today. I have a very special guest that is going to help us to look from that place from the inside out, really take a deep dive, help you take a deep dive into areas that you may want to just take a peek at. You know, some of you are going, oh, this is personal development. I don't know if I want that. No, this isn't personal development. This is soul remembering. This is you stepping into you in a greater way, in a way that supports you, your family, your community, to really step into a place of harmony. Imagine waking up every morning feeling at peace, feeling joy, feeling happiness, feeling on purpose, ready to go, you know, awake, alert, alive. Imagine that every day. And then imagine having energy throughout the whole day, just like you did probably when you were a child. Well, you can have that again. And we can help you do that. And today, my guest and I are going to have a deep conversation around that. So stay tuned for that conversation. I got to take a quick break. And when I do, we'll have my guest.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. And as you can see on our screen, we've got quantumhumandesign.com. And we have the founder of that with us today. Welcome. Welcome to the show, Dr. Karen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, for those of you that don't know Dr. Karen Parker, she is a best-selling author. I just was on her Amazon page. There's all kinds of books she's written. She's also a TEDx speaker, an internationally recognized thought leader in human design, consciousness, and personal transformation. She's the founder of Quantum Human Design and the Quantum Alignment System, blending modern science, quantum principles, and ancient wisdom to help people align with their authentic purpose and potential. With more than 30 years experience, Dr. Karen has trained thousands of practitioners worldwide, authoring over 20 books, and has been featured on Bloomberg, CBS, ABC, and Business Week, and now on Voices of Courage for the second time. Her work empowers people to heal burnout, unlock creativity, and live with greater clarity, vitality, and joy. Don't forget that joy. That joy is important.
Yeah. And what? And courage.
And courage. You know, courage is a big piece here, isn't it?
It's a huge piece because I think putting a flag in the sand and saying, I'm going to be who I was born to be. I'm going to do what I feel called to do. I'm going to make choices for myself that sometimes really defy all the rules that we've been trained to follow is a really bold and courageous thing to do.
It's courageous, and it takes courage to find alignment and harmony, coherence in our life. It just does. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many, you know, all of us, it seems, everybody in my world seems that they've had some wounds either in childhood or, you know, going through life. And, you know, traumas, the dramas, that type of thing. And those things get stuck and those things start to make beliefs up around it. And we get disconnected from our true self, our soul.
Absolutely.
So, you know, let me ask you this. What quantum alignment, what is it? What is it? Let's define it.
Well, quantum alignment is freeing yourself from old stories. And when I say old stories, I'm talking about the stories you were imprinted by, from your family, from your environment, the stories you learned from society, the stories that oftentimes we know now from science you inherited on a genetic level before you even born. That quantum alignment is the ability to free yourself from any of the limitations of those stories and consciously decide for yourself, who am I? And if you know who you are, then you can consciously begin to start creating or choosing a life that is a reflection of your own story, the story you've created and decided for yourself. That's probably the simple answer.
Let me ask you this. What a lot of people tell themselves stories. And I'm wondering, what's the difference between, or how do they adjust from telling themselves stories to seeing the truth for themselves?
That's a great question. And it's a question that I think I'm going to maybe disrupt some of the things we talk about in our industry. And that disruption is sometimes I think we think it's so simple, just tell a new story and poof, we'll create this new story. But it's a process that really takes time. And in a hack culture, meaning in a culture that really wants everything fast and instant, sometimes I think when we really have to face the work that's in front of us to really not only transform our story, but to integrate it and internalize it, we back away from it because it can be a process that takes a little bit of time. You don't only have to start telling a better story. As you just said, you have to embody it. You have to actually rewire your nervous system to be able to accommodate this new identity. And that's a process that takes consistency, repetition. It takes consciously curating for yourself an inner and outer environment that supports your new story. It takes a practice because you've got to, through repetition and consistency, retrain yourself, retrain your perspective, retrain your nervous system to really begin to see your world through a different lens.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the process, the human design process, not that I want to get into the process, but what are, can you just give us a little insight on how this works?
Yeah. I mean, I think when we start rewriting our story, it's a daunting place to begin because we, you know, people will, and maybe some of you have experienced this if you're watching this, you know, people may have said to you, oh, you just need to work on your self-worth, or, oh, you just need to have a different set of belief systems. And that's a great suggestion. There's not anything wrong with that. But if you start to recognize that you're living in a story, your identity is basically a story, and you realize, okay, the story that I'm telling myself isn't really true, where do you start rewriting that story? That's a very daunting task because we don't know. Sometimes we think, oh, it's these things that happened to me in my childhood. Sometimes it's these things that happened to me in my family lineage. Sometimes it's these lived experiences that I've had or these beliefs that I grew up with in the culture that I grew up with. What human design is, it's a process through which you can begin to systematically begin to explore your own story and, most importantly, how to really begin to shift your perspective on who you are so that step by step by step, layer by layer by layer in your story, you can start reclaiming sovereignty over it and move yourself into a more aligned state.
You know, I think a lot of people are looking to move into a more aligned state. And it seems in my experience that, you know, I'm a guy that, you know, is reading all the time, exploring, researching all the time, you know, not only for my clients, but for myself. But it seems like it's definitely more than what's like on the surface. Mm-hmm. I think the surface leaves, failure or problems or challenges leave clues. Mm-hmm. And we can use those clues to kind of say, all right, you know, the relationship's not working. I've had 5 relationships now. They're all not working. What do I do now to figure out why that is? What inside me needs to shift, change, develop, or grow so that I can move into that, let's say, in this example, relationship? Mm-hmm. So, and you said, you know, and so what's your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I would say relationships is a really interesting arena to begin in, and certainly an arena that is an arena that gives us a very clear reflection, right? You're in a feedback loop in a relationship. And, you know, when you're talking about relationships and your relationship stories, you're really looking at 2 themes that you've got to tackle. And the first theme is your self-worth. How much do you value yourself? And your sense of lovability, which those things are closely tied, but they're not exactly the same. So, you know, do I value myself? Do I value myself enough to put myself into a relationship where my value is being reflected back to me? And I would say, honestly, Ken, most people aren't. Most people really have to learn that lesson because I think we live in a collective problem with value and self-worth. And then the second piece is, you know, can I be loved for who I am and how I am? And that question is oftentimes the question that causes many of us to put on a mask, to try to be someone we're not, or try to please somebody else instead of trusting that we can be loved and accepted for who we are. And of course, that all begins with really looking at what story are you telling about your value and your lovability.
Well, you know, I think that goes over into health and in finance and just about every other area. So, you know, as you know, my thought is, you know, if you're having challenges with finance, let's say, there's something underlying that really needs to be looked at. Or in health, the same thing. And I believe what you just said. I think self-worth and value. Are we valuing ourselves to the point? You know, I've coached for many years, and I've coached a lot of coaches, and one of the things that most new coaches come in with is they totally undervalue themselves. And, you know, and they don't get, you know, there's lack of self-worth, there's lack of value. And until they can shift that, their finances don't show.
I would say, I mean, this is the conversation I love to have with everybody right now, because I really think that self-worth is the lever that could potentially shift our entire world. So I hear what you're saying about coaches, healers. I would say anybody that's in a service-based profession struggles with value. That's, you know, that could be, you know, in the more mundane world, that's nurses, that's teachers, that's any kind of service-based professional. And it's an interesting conversation to have right now, because I think that it's a conversation around a topic that's under a lot of pressure right now. And I think that this pressure has been building. And I think actually COVID kind of inflamed this pressure a little bit. So one of the things that I think happened for us collectively when we went into lockdown is we started to have to really reevaluate our life and our values, right? And I think many of us sort of walked away from COVID saying, you know, the way we've been doing things and even the metrics that we've been using to measure value are not okay. They don't work for us anymore. And it's causing a lot of us to have a different set of questions about, maybe brave and courageous questions about, what is really valuable to me and in my life. And in that question is also, am I embodying that value and can I embody that value? We measure value with numbers. We've been measuring values with numbers since the end of the scientific revolution, right? We've been measuring in our modern culture, we measure value with, you know, how much, not only how much money do you have, but how many years of education do you have? You know, for women, it's what's your bra size, what's your waist size. I mean, we measure everything in numbers. And people don't really conform to that. You can't measure the value of a person in numbers, but we try, right? And we've been trying to do that for a long time. So when you go out into the world in the way that the story, our collective story is structured right now, we're really engaging in a metric of value that's really kind of distills itself down to money. And money is not a great metric for well-being, which is really what I think is the new metric for value in this evolving era that we're living in. And a lot of people, I think, who are in the service-based professions or in the healing spaces are feeling that. And we keep telling them, you got to up your value, you got to up your value. And that is part of it for sure. But there's more to that conversation too. And I think part of the conversation, I think part of what a lot of very sensitive, empathic people are feeling is that the way we measure value isn't working anymore.
Well, I think this is a really great conversation. I love going here with you, because here's what I believe is that if we focus on all the money piece, that's just one metric we can measure. But the real measurement comes from alignment with one's self and one's purpose. Because when you're aligned with self and purpose, it appears that, you know, I mean, you can't just believe the money's going to show up because you're aligned with self and purpose. But it's kind of funny. It seems to show up a lot bigger when you're aligned with self and purpose. And the biggest challenge I find is that a lot of times there's the opposite of courage is there. There's fear. We're afraid of speaking our mind. We're afraid of letting go of a career maybe we've had for years. We're afraid of what people might say or think or do. We're afraid what our families might think about us if we really let go of what's not working and start embracing what we really want to be, do, and have.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
So how do we get there?
Well, first of all, I think it's good to start with the idea that evolution takes time and take the pressure off of us, because we are all individually, I think a lot of us are individually really doing that work right now of really going back and saying, okay, well, what is my value? And How do I create a life that reflects that value? And how do I make choices that hold my value? And sometimes, you know, make those courageous choices that say, I'm going to hold my value and go for that alignment piece, knowing full well it defies all the rules of success that I've been trained or all the rules of self-worth that I've been taught to embrace. So, you know, I think we have to do this work individually. And I don't think we can change the metric that we're using on a community or on a collective level until we reach a critical mass of people who really know their value. But here's the thing, and this is the vision, honestly, that drives me, Ken, on a daily basis. I want to lead everybody into just a dream or a vision for just a minute. Right now, because we have a crisis in value, we are, you know, individually, on a community level, and on a collective level, making decisions from a scarcity narrative. And I'll challenge you with this. I'll say, think about the term survivor. And survivor is a powerful part of our cultural narrative, right? We value survivors. We even have TV shows about survivors. We think if you survived, like you're amazing, right? You're something we all aspire to. But if you really break down surviving as a narrative, as an archetype, a survivor is basically somebody who lived. Right? They went through something and they lived. That's a pretty minimal standard, right? If you think about it, I survived, right? And yet we've constructed this whole culture around survival. And here's the problem with the survival mechanism. If we start thinking about survival, that means, and we embrace that identity culturally, collectively, individually, when we become survivors, then we're basically telling a story that says, for me to define and create an identity as a survivor, I'm going to need to have things to survive as part of my feedback loop, right? So I'm constantly having to survive. And that's actually putting me in fight or flight, first of all, in a stress response. It's also a scarcity model, right? I've got to survive. Like, I got to get above my neck above water and make it. But that's not a model that includes the potential for thriving. And so I would say the very first thing we have got to do is we have got to start looking at our narratives and start looking at how much is scarcity woven into so much of how we see the world, what we celebrate, and how we think about the world. Now, we are making, I'll say this in the United States, we're making big policy decisions that are based on scarcity and lack. We live in a mindset of fear of scarcity and lack, or surviving scarcity and lack. If for just a minute you imagine that you know your value, imagine for just a moment that you realize, hey, you know, I'm actually a once in a lifetime cosmic event. I am, Karen, a once in a lifetime cosmic event, and so are you, Ken. And so is every single person watching the show. If you can imagine that you are a once in a lifetime cosmic event and literally your existence makes the world what it is because the world is what it is because you're in it. And if you were not in that world, it wouldn't exist in the way that it exists right now in this moment. It wouldn't exist. It would be an entirely different world. If you can recognize, wow, I am so precious that there's literally never been anybody like me before. There will never be anybody like me again. The world is what it is because I'm in it. And you can stand in that value. Think about how courage isn't even a thing. It's just it's a natural way of being because you are suddenly moving out of a mindset of, oh, I got to protect myself. I got to hide myself out. You're now moving into a mindset of, I'm precious.
Yeah.
And if
Yeah, that's I got to take a break, but that's very powerful. And courage, just to plus that, courage is a energy. It's a vibration. It's a feeling inside of us that we get when we walk into the unknown. Mm-hmm. It shows up, and that's what we're talking about. We, you know, and I the unknown for a lot of us is moving out of the scarcity mindset into a thriving mindset. So when I take a break, we'll come back. I want to talk about moving into that thrival, that mindset of really thriving. And of course, you've just set the stage for that. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Huh? What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and I want to encourage you, if you're on YouTube right now, to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our shows and you can pass them on to other people you love. If you're not on YouTube right now, just on your my listening audience, go to voices, go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, and you can get all of our shows all the time. All righty, back to my guest. Karen, I think you had another point you wanted to make there.
I did. So we left off at, okay, you recognize your own value. Now you're making very bold and courageous decisions. But here's the thing. When you know your own value and you recognize, okay, there's no one else like me. I'm an irreplaceable part of the cosmic tapestry. I'm a unique and vital, you know, unique creation. All of a sudden, when you start looking at the world, first of all, you're no longer in competition with anyone because who can compete with you? You're a once-in-a-lifetime cosmic event. And you start to recognize that, oh, if I'm part of a cosmic plan, if I'm an irreplaceable part of the story, of the human story, well, then so are you and you and you and you and you and you. And now all of a sudden, not only am I precious, so is everyone else because they are all vital components of this unified entity that is us. And when we adopt that perspective, when we're starting to create from that place, of course, obviously your own life thrives. But also think about the policy decisions we now start to make from that perspective. From now on, when you see that, it's never going to be acceptable for a child to go without food. It's never going to be acceptable for someone to not be safe, to not be supported. Because every one of the people on this planet, every living being on this planet suddenly becomes inherently valuable simply because it exists.
And there'll be no more wars because we would value ourselves and look at everyone as connected, as one with us, as very precious individuals.
Absolutely.
How do we move into this mindset? Let's talk about it from an individual basis first, because I believe what we change inside, we change in our families, community, to the nation, to the world. So how do we start here? Going to the thriving mindset. This is a mindset of valuing ourselves, valuing who we are, the preciousness of ourselves, not from allaboutme.com, but from a place of connection with our soul. Where do we start?
Well, at a very rudimentary level, the very first place we have to start is you have to start and really do an inventory about, do I carry any trauma within my being? And that's not only your own trauma, that can be ancestral trauma. Because if we're holding any kind of story around trauma, it creates a stress response. It creates a survival response. And it holds us back from being able to actually find the courage to step out and be our authentic self, right? If you've internalized the message that it's not okay or safe or I'm not valued to be who I am and how I am because of trauma, you got to clear the trauma. That's phase one. In phase two, you then have to start really looking at who am I? What is the story that I'm telling about who I am? And really start piecing that story apart in all the different, you know, from all the different experiences that you've had, the beliefs that you've integrated. But here's the piece that gets really, I think, overlooked. I would say, especially in the personal growth and development field, I can sit down with pretty much any of my clients. You probably can too, Ken, as you know, when you work with your coaches or your people. Most people that I sit down with anymore these days can tell me exactly why they're stuck and blocked. They can tell me, oh, my mom did this, my dad this, I had this experience when I was 7. And that's a lot of times the place where we stop the process. We think understanding is enough, and it's not. Just knowing where your story came from is not enough. You have to then go into the next phase, which is going from decoding your story to actually intentionally recoding it. And one of the things that I've done, I did with research that I've been doing, is looking at intentional storytelling using fantasy and creativity as a way to actually begin to internalize a new identity. We're actually designed to learn and grow and actually wire the nervous system through storytelling. It's why, like, if we go back to our little kids, you know, a four-year-old wants to sit on your lap and have a storybook read to them, right? Because it's through storytelling that they learn about the world and they learn about values and they learn about feelings. We are hardwired to learn about the world through stories. And there is a primal part of our nervous system that actually can relearn who we are through active, intentional, creative storytelling. And when we do that process, we not only begin to rewire the nervous system, we actually rewire our immune function and our immune levels go up.
So give us an example of a fantasy story that would recode the subconscious mind.
Okay. So let's pretend if you are a person who has been struggling with self-doubt, okay? And that's a common one, right? People struggle with self-doubt a lot. So I have a story prompt that I use for people with self-doubt, and it's a story that goes something like this. You are standing on the edge of a stream, and you are looking across this stream, and on the other side of the stream is your intention, your goals, your dreams. But you can't get there because in order to get there, you have to cross a bridge. And underneath this bridge, there's a troll that lives there. And in order for you to get to the other side, you have to confront this troll. His name is the self-doubt troll, right? So in order to get to your dream, you've got to come face to face on this bridge with your self-doubt troll. In the writing exercise that I do with my students, I actually have my students confront the self-doubt troll. Can't say that today. And actually ask the troll, what is keeping me back? Why do I have this doubt within me? And the messages that they get from this troll who reveals to them, what's the key, what's the skeleton key to unlocking your self-doubt and moving you into a state of confidence and courage, is really beautiful. And using creative writing, my students will write all these stories about their relationship with the self-doubt troll and how they make friends with the self-doubt troll and what they need to do to get permission from the self-doubt troll to cross the bridge and actually move into their vision and their dreams. People resist this process because they want it to be serious and hard and therapeutic. And really, when we go over and use creative storytelling, we actually tap into the right side of the brain. We transcend the doubt and suspicion that's part of the linear side of the brain. We actually have fun, which is an incredible transformative energy. It makes us feel better. It moves us into a state of heart coherence, which is a highly creative state. And all of a sudden, we've got insights and epiphanies happening all over the place.
I love that. Tie this into the physical body. What happens in the physical body when we realign, recode, and shift the old stories?
Well, first of all, when we're taking back control over the story, we put ourselves into a state of heart coherence versus a state of fight or flight. So again, if we think about self-worth as being a fork in the road, that's probably a good way. You know, we say your thoughts create your reality, right? Well, your thoughts are actually creating neurotransmitters, which in turn are stimulating emotional frequencies, which are in turn actually creating either a state of heart coherence, which is an aligned creative state within the body where the body and the mind and your energy all work together, or your body's going into a state of fight or flight, depending on what your thoughts were. So a lot of times the fork in the road between fight or flight or heart coherence is your self-worth. So when you say, I deserve this, this is in alignment with who I am, this is authentic to me, and it feels so good, right? When you're having thoughts like that and your sense of worth allows for that, then you move yourself into a state of coherence, which is a highly creative, highly aware state. If your self-worth is maybe not so great, and you say, I'd love to have this, but I don't deserve it. You know, I can't create this. Then we go into fight or flight. Now, obviously, fight or flight is a high stress response, and that takes a toll on the body. And actually, I would say anytime we say yes when we want to say no, anytime when we deny what we genuinely want or we think we don't deserve it, and we trigger a low grade stress response, that stress response uses an enormous amount of energy. First of all, it's not energy that's designed to be sustained. So we have an epidemic of burnout in our culture. And I cannot help but believe that part of this epidemic of burnout that we have is because we've got people who are struggling with their self-worth, trying to be something they're not, saying yes when they want to say no, saying no when they want to say yes. And that takes a toll on the body. The other thing that we know is that when you are existing in that chronic state of fight or flight, you're actually decreasing your IgA response or your immune response, making you vulnerable to chronic illnesses, autoimmune disorders, and even something like the common cold. And so when we start to shift that self-worth and we move into a new story, an embodied story of high self-worth, empowerment, when you drop the victim narrative, when you drop the lack narrative, I've actually measured in the lab where when we use that creative writing process in an intentional way, we actually can watch IgA levels go back up once you take back control over your story, even if you do it in a fantasy way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just in a practical way here. So, somebody says something to someone that you don't like, you know, and you get upset, and then you go out, and say, well, you know, I'm just going to go get something to eat. And you go, instead of picking something healthy, you pick something that's not really healthy. You eat the cake or the Doritos or something. And at the end of that, you know, you're not feeling, you knew you shouldn't do that at some level. And now you're feeling even worse than you did. And now the issue's still there, but now, you know, it's a cycle like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm, hearing is that might be a good way to, like, as soon as you start to feel like you need to go do something that you inside know that's not going to be highest and best for you,
mm-hmm.
know that you're in fight or flight.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Or we could even call it, if we want to take the fight or flight off of it, we could call it reactivity. You're reacting out an old pattern that's protective in some way, that's helping you, you know, hide your true self and hide oftentimes, your pain.
Well, it's helping you to cope at some level, but at some point, you have to ask yourself, when do I get off the coping merry-go-round? When do I get off of that?
Well, we started off our conversation with pain. You were talking at the very beginning about pain. And I would say pain shows up, you know, in your body, as you said, in your relationships, in your money, in your creative fulfillment, even in your connection to God or whatever word you want to use. And pain is actually a barometer. And part of what we have to do is we have to start listening to pain. And of course, that starts a whole nother conversation, because part of what has happened for most of us in the process of becoming conditioned is we've learned to tune out the pain. And what happens is eventually the pain has to get so loud for us to really hear it. I mean, think about a 5-year-old. You go to school. You've never been to school before. You're sitting in this really hard, terrible chair. It's a beautiful day outside. Your whole body is saying, hey, let's all go out and play, right? And your teacher says, nope, sit down. You got to focus on this. Look at this. We're going to do reading now. Be quiet. Put your eyes forward, right? The only way you can survive over time in that hard chair, instead of following your internal imperative, is to learn to have to shut your body down. And that happens to us, over and over and over again in the process of being conditioned to be productive members of society. And so a lot of us really have to feel a lot of pain before we really recognize, oh, this isn't working for me. And basically we have to unnumb ourselves in order to really begin to be able to interpret that pain correctly.
When I woke up in 1992, I heard this little voice that said, you got to feel the pain to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that to change everything in my whole life. is to feel the pain. Because when we feel the pain, when we know the pain is there, we feel it, we allow ourselves to feel it, it's transformative. Absolutely. In every sense of the way. Mm-hmm. Every sense of the way. Like you said, we want to, you know, most people want to, me included in the beginning, I wanted to shut down pain. You know, I didn't want to feel it. I wanted to chase pleasure. I don't want to feel pain. But that leads to a life of more pain and more misery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The universe is always prodding us, you know, and I can't tell you how many people I've come across, maybe you've come across too in our coaching, you know, they'll say, oh yeah, I've had my back pain for, 2 years. I'm like, what? What? Yeah. It's just back pain. It's no big deal. You know, I'm like, that's called denial. That's called, not feeling the pain, not addressing the issue to make the change. And I love what you do. You know, we're getting out of time, and I know you've got a lot of books out there. I want to talk about quantum healing real quick. Yeah, you have a picture of that book somewhere, Quantum Healing, where you can get it?
I have a copy of it. So.
Yeah. And okay, let me see that again. My audience. Okay, Quantum Wellness, which is Quantum Healing. But Quantum Wellness is the name of the book. And tell me a little bit about it so that my audience knows they have a place to go and start here with this.
So Quantum Wellness is all about using human design, which, as I said, is a systematic way to explore your story. It breaks down your human design, which is based, you use your birthday, birth time, and birthplace to get an energy map. It supports you in really looking at layer after layer after layer of your personal story and walks you through intentional, creative, kind of like the troll exercise that we did, creative story prompts to give you the control and the insights into what's the story I'm telling about who I am, and how can I decode that story and then recode that story so that the story that I'm telling and the story that I'm embodying is, first of all, the true story of who I am. It's a story of my own choosing, and it's a story that supports not just surviving, but thriving, allowing myself to really expand and optimize who I am in the world.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is a wonderful place to start. Where would you recommend that people go to get it?
It's available on any online retail outlet, including bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can go click and buy.
Okay. What am I going to find when I go to quantumhumandesign.com?
When you go to quantumhumandesign.com, the first thing that's going to come up is an invitation for you to run your quantum human design chart, which is a chart that actually shows you your unique energy blueprint, and it'll give you some really powerful insights into who you are, what your gifts are, what your strengths are, how your energy works, and again, how you can optimize your personal story.
Oh, that's a nice gift. How long does it take to fill that out?
Well, you have to know your birthday, birth time, and birthplace. So this, you know, it might be a good opportunity to call your mom. so that changes.
Yeah. It's good to have your birth certificate somewhere anyway. So kind of know where that is. So, okay, that's great. Well, let's just go to final thoughts. Final thoughts for my audience here, Dr. Karen Parker.
So I always love to end with this story because I think it's such a good representation of where we're at. You know, I have 8 kids. They're all mostly grown now. We always had dogs and cats, and the kids would get puzzles out and they put all the puzzle pieces out on the table. And it was only a matter of minutes before a dog would eat a piece or a cat would knock a piece off the table. Or I had one kid who would rip off all the puzzle pieces and try to stick them in the wrong place because he didn't really have the patience for a puzzle. You know, a puzzle is only as beautiful as the sum total of the pieces. And when we rip parts of ourselves off to try to fit ourselves in a puzzle piece where we don't belong, or when we try to jam ourselves somewhere where we don't fit, we actually affect the entire beauty of the puzzle. We oftentimes think, well, who am I? And, you know, why is who I am so important to the world? Well, you are part of the human puzzle. And the whole story of the world, the whole story of humanity needs each and every one of us to fulfill our unique place in the puzzle and to do it well. And when we do that, we're not martyred, we're not suffering, we're not in pain, we're actually thriving and fulfilling our full potential. And it's a joyful way to be.
Wow, I love that. Well, thank you again for coming back on the show and giving us your wisdom. And I know a lot of people have benefited from this. So I really enjoyed this with you, Dr. Karen.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. This show is a show that is designed for you. And if you continue to watch it, I guarantee you that you will be able to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and someday do the impossible.